mask lies, the Delta Airlines lawsuit, and medical tyranny.
Just stick around and see how you're leased by the medical industrial complex.
Get ready for truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs, from God-fearing, freedom-loving, truth-telling, patriotic Americans. Welcome to Patriots with Grit. Now let's jump into today's episode with your host, Darren Ross.
Well, as everybody knows, Randy, we're about 36 months into 14 days to slow the spread.
Yeah.
And we knew when that announced it would be all bogus. It would be a bunch of nonsense, right, and the media would propagandize it forever. But so today we have an awesome guest here. What do you think about our guest today?
Well, we were going to do this pandemic stuff, and then she let us know that she was a whistleblower for the Air Force in modified weather.
Well, I mean, this is crazy. I started trying to find our guest today 18 months ago, and she's like, I swear she's undercover. I mean, she's hard to catch. She's like catching a cat, you know, yep, what I mean? We finally got a hold of her, and we're going to bring on a guest today, Kristen Megan, better known as the Loudmouth Liberty Enforcer. Kristen, thank you for joining us today on Patriots with Grit.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I'm so sorry it took so long for us to connect. It's very difficult. My DMs, as they say, are just always full, and I need an assistant.
Yeah. Well, I ran onto you on a Facebook video or something back in like summer of 2021. I'm like, I've got to get this gal. And then I started seeing you speak at different events online. And I'm like, man, how do we find her? She's like incognito. Mm-hmm. And then finally I heard you on a podcast and on a radio show a couple weeks ago. And I just messaged the people in the app. I know the people that own the radio station. I said, hey, can you guys put us in touch with Kristen? So finally, you know, a couple days later, we made contact, and I was like, Randy, we finally got this gal. We're going to bring her on. She's doing some great things. But, you know, I like the title of Loudmouth Liberty Enforcer. I mean, a lot of women are out there. As I say on all our shows, 73% in this battle are women. We go to all these events and conferences and stuff. 73% are women, but a lot of them are all talk and no action. They're keyboard warriors. But you are a huge action taker. I mean, you're an Air Force veteran. You take no bull. You just stand up and get it done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about what you've done. I mean, give us your background. I mean, I know you had a background in industrial hygiene, and the masking thing is what caught my attention, you know, a year and a half ago. But we're kind of somewhat past that, but maybe not. But talk to us about your background, what you've done, and what you're doing now, and then maybe let's kind of get into some of this whistleblower stuff.
Sure. I will try to respond to this in as short as possible because it's 20 years. So after 9/11, I went into the Air Force, and I worked in a profession called bioenvironmental engineering. And the best way to convey that in the civilian life is think of a part of the military that is dealing with the EPA, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, OSHA, and MMBC, Medical Nuclear Biological Counterchemical Warfare. So I basically got into this profession, and then I went in and enlisted, and I decided to get my degrees, and I was an IH technician, and then I became an industrial hygienist, and then I became a senior industrial hygienist. But I spent 9 years on active duty, and after that, I went and worked for a VA hospital, and then I went into the private sector, and then now I'm a consultant, and I work for myself. And actually, since I left the military, because of why I left, it propelled me into doing a lot of interviews. And that's how I met Alex Jones of InfoWars. And I did, was on that show many times. I did some contributing work for them. And I have honestly, over 20 years, completely donated my time to the truth movement. I'm known as the Loudmouth Liberty Enforcer because I follow the non-aggression principle. I am a Ron Paul Revolution fan. So I believe in using your peaceful administrative avenues to stand up for your rights and preserve individual liberty, which is under attack at every angle. But how I keep getting pulled into this is that I am an exposure scientist. That is what industrial hygiene is. It's not teeth. It's not an industrial cleaner. We are exposure scientists, and the government just seems to not be able to keep its hand out of my profession when the government trained me for 12 years. So like, for example, I have 12 years experience in pandemic preparedness planning and response. So when I saw what happened in 2020, I thought, okay, this is not going to happen. And even when they started talking about masking, like, I laughed with my husband because he does what I do. And I was like, there's no way they would do that. Yeah, they did. And they did it to our kids. So I've just, for the past 20 years, I mean, I had a couple years where I was able to kind of go into hiding and be a mom. I have two daughters, 18 and 7. And of course I get attacks and defamation articles written about me, but this is about me just upholding my oath. And it's not to grift, it's not to profit. I don't mock those who do, but you know, I have other income streams. So what my activism is to help people. I have oath to uphold and I have ethics in my profession. And there's no way that I can sit down and remain silent when I have the information to expose the wrongdoings of our government.
Well, I know you started out originally, I believe some of the videos I saw, you were just pounding school boards. You were speaking at school board meetings. And I'm assuming you took a lot of heat and flack from, you know, other parents and friends and family, et cetera.
Absolutely. But I've been attacked for so many years that when the whole masking thing came around, I was like, oh, this is just version 2.0 from when I blew the whistle years ago. And you just have to, you grow really thick skin when you're an activist and it's different. I'm not just an activist. I'm an activist for something that I'm trained in. Like, this is my job. So I didn't really care about the attacks because I know the truth. And the studies are on my side, history is on my side. But yeah, I had multiple things occur during this whole thing. Like, a lot of people may not know, but I'm in active litigation against Delta Airlines for denying me flying. I sued the Daily Beast. I sued my professional organization, the American Industrial Hygiene Association. I'm not a litigious person, and this is not cheap, but I will always stand up for truth and I will always clear my name. And I am a disabled veteran and my disability rights were violated by Delta Airlines. So I stood up for them. So for me, it's not the attacks. It's not the negative social media keyboard cowboys. It's these large corporations that will try to take you down and outspend you. But I have Bitcoin and I will take pictures of my feet.
Well, let me ask you this. That's a great, I wish my daughters did that so I wouldn't have to supplement them so much. So let me ask you this. Can you talk at all, Kristen, about your ongoing litigation with any of these companies? Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, let's do Delta Airlines, the Daily Beast. And
I'm in the safety profession too, so I know all about industrial hygiene. Well, I know part of
great.
It.
Great. So you know I'm not a dentist. That's so refreshing.
That's right.
Exactly. So I want to know about what they did to you.
Okay. Well, I will try to be very short in this. So I, along with my colleague, her name is Tammy Clark. She's one of me professionally, but she's also the vice president of a huge grassroots organization, actually the largest in our state, called Stand Up Michigan. So we met by chance and we started without knowing each other. We were traveling the whole country on our own dime. Because when we started being vocal on social media, then we had like state senators, governors, all these state senators, congressmen and women reaching out to us, come to my state. So in this situation, I had already flown Delta to go down to Miami for my colleague and I, along with a pediatrician, to speak at an amazing private school. I don't know if you're familiar with Layla Centner.
I am, and I want to get her on. Yes. She's a firecracker. She speaks at a lot of these events. I know exactly who she is.
And she brought me and my colleague in along with a pediatrician. And we gave information to all the parents. And, you know, it's funny about that event. I won't spend too much time on this, but she basically has contracts to go to her school. And there was parents who wanted to void their contracts because she did not require masking. And she was like, I don't have to do this, but I'll let you out of your contract. But you got to sit through this training. And I remember watching, there was two sessions. And these are people who are like doctors, surgeons, you name it. And one by one, they started taking off their masks.
Oh, man. Beautiful.
That's beautiful. Stuff.
Yeah. So that was the first time I flew Delta, was to educate the parents that were tied to her school. And then a few months later, I was asked with my colleague to go testify in North Dakota, and we were supposed to meet with the governor, and we were there to help pass a bill that was going to ensure no one would be discriminated against for not getting the thing or wearing these things, right? Masks and jabs. I'm so used to censoring myself, sorry. I have two medical issues, which preclude me from wearing a mask or respirator. I won't even say exemption because in my field, and if you work in safety, you know, there is a process through occupational health doctors, or more in the Air Force, it was a flight surgeon, you have to be medically cleared. And I have two medical issues. I'm very vocal about them. I had a stroke to a vaccine when I was on active duty. So I have heart issues. And this was not this one. This was a million years ago in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And I have PTSD and I cannot cover my face, especially forcefully. So it's not that it's annoying to me. Like I will go into full cardiac arrhythmia, AFib. It's dangerous. And Delta knew this. This is why I was able to fly before without it. But when Biden got sworn in, see, these Delta Airlines uses something called StatMD, and it's a third-party healthcare provider, and you don't know what kind of doctor they are. He literally told me that my disability no longer mattered due to Biden's executive order. Well, of course, I had a copy of that order, and it literally said in reference to the CDC, and the CDC cites the ADA. Because a part of my profession also is making accommodations for people, whether it be medical or religious. So I just used my military bearing and I said, in my mind, as soon as I was denied, I thought, this is going to result in a lawsuit. And Delta had a conflict resolution officer. They wear like these red coats. And the conflict resolution officer contacted corporate. Corporate said we could bypass the doctor. Corporate Delta and the conflict resolution officer told me to sue them. That's how bad it was. Whoa. So of course, I've been tied to so much litigation as an expert witness. So when my case got dismissed, I didn't freak out because I know that that's normal for anything involving COVID because none of my complaints were addressed. It was just, she didn't wear a mask. And I actually joined my case with another woman for the same issues. No, it's like saying someone didn't stand up because they're in a wheelchair. I literally cannot cover my face. So yeah, that's an appeal right now, which is a normal process. And I just want change. I'd like change and apology. I'm not trying to get rich out of any of this. I don't want this to happen to anyone else, especially a lot of the children who are autistic or on the spectrum can't handle this. So, and then, you know, it wasn't long after that I was speaking at a school board and that interaction was filmed by a Karen and I literally had a breakdown, which was embarrassing, but I just had enough. And I had a public meltdown and that was picked up. And then I got contacted by the Daily Beast and I always record every interview I do, except for you guys, but I'm talking more like mainstream. Mm-hmm. So I stood in front of my home security camera, put this on speaker. This article came out, fabricated quotes, lied. I mean, to the point, I'll give you an example. I'm paraphrasing, but there's something in the article that says, even if millions and millions of people were dying, we should still be able to make our own decisions. What I really said was, if millions and millions of people were dying, we would make sure that we got a multidisciplinary review and approach panel together to ensure that we were fully assessing the hazard to utilize proper controls for risk mitigation. Does that have the same intent? No, it didn't.
I don't believe so.
So this thing is all laced in the lawsuit comes in where I sued my professional organization, the AIHA, because the head of the AIHA, who's not an industrial hygienist, had said that of all of the members, 99% agreed with masking for this issue. And I knew that was false because inside of the AIHA website, there's something called the Catalyst Message Boards. And all the fodder in there was, why are we doing this? Long story short, one of the highest credentialed people in my career field, Stephen Petty, reached out to this person named Larry Sloan and got him to admit he never surveyed the organization. But don't you know it? Every day I go on Twitter and say in a debate, hi, I'm an IH. I'm a subject matter expert on this. In comes the Daily Beast article. Are you sure your whole profession disagrees with you? So it's harmed my reputation greatly. So I did sue them. And what I can say to you is that the matter has been settled. And that's all I can say about the result. And I'm actually going to be doing a video soon releasing some of the evidence because, again, this isn't to get rich quick. This is you lied. And this is why people say, where are the people in your profession? They saw what was done to me and there's no way they were going to come forward. So there's only about 8 to 10 of us. Mm-hmm. That are speaking out. So that's kind of, sorry if that was long-winded, but I'm trying to be as honest all around on how that happened.
So I heard you one time and knowing about N95 masks and stuff like that, I don't get into asbestos much, But when you said if you can, if you can't wear an N95 for asbestos, which is fibrils, crystals, how in the world does a paper mask stop something you can't even see?
Yeah, and if anyone, I don't know if you've ever seen this in your profession, but like when they're doing asbestos abatement, there's like basically containment, like there's sheets and it's taped down to the floor with ventilation that draws it away and keeps it in and it's filtered out and all this. Oh my goodness, if I ever walked into a process of asbestos glove bag or remediation, even mold remediation, not only is that highly dangerous, but I could literally be fined and fired because of all people, and IH shouldn't be going into a regulated area with grandma's curtains on her face. We have PPE that is rated. Just like when people say wear a mask for an aerosolized virus, to me, that's like a firefighter saying throw water on the grease fire and make sure you wear gloves when you're dipping acid, you know, like in an acid tank to remove paint or something. It's so wrong. And what looks bad is that everything you see, even OSHA, allow themselves to be weaponized. But what didn't go away are the pre-existing, you know, standards and the, what do they call that for OSHA? Sorry, I'm having Biden brain. Where people can write letters and basically get letters of clarification on a standard. And
letters of interpretation.
Yes, and they make it very clear what you can and cannot do regarding masking and vaccine mandates. But, you know, the internet's forever, and that includes all of the case precedents.
There's a couple things that I never miss any day ever, and one of them is Cardio Miracle. If I could have, I would have started taking this when I was 20.
Since I've been taking Cardio Miracle on a very consistent basis, my recovery time is amazing.
I really want to be a walking testimonial of what Cardio Miracle does for the body. I just feel, I feel good all over.
For me as a doctor, Cardio Miracle is a staple. I have seen Cardio Miracle improve the lives of many of my patients with many different types of chronic conditions.
This is something that's actually made a huge difference. And it's staying that way. It's not just a fluke. It's real.
Cardio Miracle for me and my husband has saved our life.
Literally.
Cardio Miracle for us, for me, for my family, was a lifesaver.
We will never be without Cardio Miracle.
Cardio Miracle to me is hope in a glass. When you create nitric oxide, you are igniting the spark of life in the cell. It is the miracle molecule. That's why we call this Cardio Miracle, because of nitric oxide and what it can do for the whole body.
Kristen, why do you think so many people complied and did what they were told to do? That's my biggest concern since day one, is the whole 90-some percent of the public just did it. What's your thought process behind that?
This is going to sound really strange, but part of my profession is emergency response. And while I don't ever want anything bad to happen, I can tell you that people that work in this profession, we train so long for a crazy catastrophe that if it happens, it's almost like a high to execute all the things you learn, right? Yeah. It's kind of like when somebody has a medical issue, like they don't want something fatal, but people that have like Munchausen, they're like, oh no, I have this problem. And it's almost exciting. If I'm making sense, I think people wanted to be part of something like, oh, this is scary and we're all together, so let's wear our mask and it to like show that we're, you know, really digesting the fear. So it was like a high, if that makes sense, like really mental issue. And it became a cultist mindset, and somehow it became political. And I have no idea how it became political. It should have been based on the science. And I think people just shut up in color. Because once people started being shamed, once they started being shamed, you know, like Big Pharma and all these people didn't really have to do the advertising. They armed we the people to come after each other. And we had, you know, the term Karen came out, and, you know, you're killing grandma and you're selfish. And sorry, but if you're the one that was wearing a mask, you were further exasperating your aerosols. You are the super spreader, not me.
Well, how many people have we heard that said, well, I went ahead and got the jab because I wanted to be around my grandma.
Or I wanted to go on that cruise. I mean, that's the one that kills me. I wanted to go travel. I wanted to go see my kids. I wanted to go on that cruise that we've had booked for, 3 months.
And so I'm
just going to go get it. And now everybody says, oh, you don't have to have it now. My wife is in healthcare. And she and I always talk and have this conversation, Kristen, about, just think of all the people that just did it because they were told to do it or because their family members or their friends, coerced them or said, you can't see Junior if you don't get jabbed. And to me, that's been the biggest concern since day one is the compliance. People laughed at me in early 2020 when I said, it's all about compliance. I said, this is a test drive for something much bigger to come. That was in March of 2020. And sure enough, I have the gift of discernment. It's one of my spiritual gifts. And almost everything I've said, it's come true. I mean, I had the tinfoil hat. I mean, I need something different because it's all come true. And I'm thinking that pretty much everything you've said has come true as well. Correct?
Well, it didn't come true. It's always been true, but now it's known to be true.
Right.
But I want to just say in the beginning, I'm not trying to bash people that followed the guidance because I used to be that person growing up that watched Wheel of Fortune at night and the local news. I believed everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, and then I got into media myself and now I laugh at like B-roll footage and I know how it was set up and I know the scripts and all that. And I can't unknow what I know, but people followed the constant propaganda. And part of my profession is in the whole behavioral aspect of getting people to do what you want them to do, whether it's follow a rule, do something safety wise, whether it's PPE or administrative issue, like, just remembering, worker rotation or something. The messaging was so strong, I don't blame people. But then when people who were like constantly getting it over and over again, and they were wearing their face diapers, had to go, the confidence in this control is not working. But then remember, masking came out as source control. And it's not source control. Source control is when you stop something at the source, but we're talking about aerosols. And we all probably graduated high school in this room, and you know that air will always go through the path of least resistance. Masks do not seal. And when you're wearing a mask, regardless of the front material which it goes through, when you have greater than 3% leakage, it's moot. It's 0% effective. And then when you go into the fact that I literally saw people wearing it when it was snowing and raining the other day. In Michigan, we can have three seasons in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking... Your mask is moist. It's so wet. And you don't understand that material is being broken down and you're inhaling it. Not only that, you're increasing the bacterial load because there's so much bacteria. It's a hot, warm environment. And I am being medical here, so please bear with me. In the culture of women wearing leggings, women know that you have to make sure that you don't wear leggings every day because women have different anatomy. Things need to breathe, pH balances, natural, healthy, and dirty bacteria. Okay. We'll just leave it at that.
Got it.
Now do this here. Would you re-wear a panty liner? Would you reuse a Band-Aid? No, you wouldn't. And this thing after 2 hours needs to be thrown away. You touch it once, it needs to be thrown away. The average person would have probably went through 500 to 1,000 masks a day. So when the Cochrane Review came out, which was a review of a whole bunch of randomized controlled trials, which is the gold standard, the left, and I have to say that because unfortunately that's who's resisting this data, was coming out and saying, well, if people wore them correctly, it's impossible to wear these correctly. One, they don't stop the hazard. And two, there are not enough masks in the world and you can't wear them if you're not clean shaven. So goatees, beards, you name it, you can't wear them. You don't get a seal. And it's so infuriating because even N95s, which are respirators, are bottom of the barrel. And most IHs cannot stand them because they lose their seal so easy and they're so hard to fit test. Meaning I hook you up to a machine and I have to make sure the ambient air isn't getting inside while you're moving. I just got to say this real quick. One of the studies that the CDC kept peddling was they used, so you had to picture for a moment like a computerized device with a tube, and I pierce a hole in an N95 or a mask and so that I can test the air, right? They had a woman put on a mask and then they put a nylon over her face, like a literal like nylon, on a port account, which was not in calibration, the machine that measures it. and then told her not to breathe or move. So anyone who's watching this, who's ever had to wear a respirator or in the military had a gas mask, you know, if you get a fit test, you move your head left to right, side to side, up and down, grimace, read this thing, you jog in place for real world scenarios of bending down, doing things. We're going to test the efficacy by telling somebody not to breathe. And a lot of these studies involved gluing them on mannequins. We don't glue PPE or source control on our face. Gee, I mean, this is our government. I mean, this is the CDC.
They're buffoons.
I can't make this up.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, we talked about, a while ago you said shut up and color. And we had a retired B-2 stealth pilot on here just a few weeks ago. And I guess that's a saying in the Air Force, correct?
It
shut
is.
Up and color?
I love it.
He came on and talked about all this stuff. But now I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
I forgot what I was going to say. But, he was just talking about the whole, you know, with the government and how we had the conversation with him. And I said, listen, Scar, that was his flying name. I said, Scar, who's pulling the strings in the military? I said, is it the big pharmaceutical companies? And he said, well, I believe, you know, they're pulling the strings of the DOD. And I'm thinking, you have the Department of Defense, your own government, letting pharmaceutical companies and big pharma pull the strings within our own government. I mean, can you see that as something going on?
Big pharma is the fourth branch of government.
I've never heard it put like that, but that's beautiful.
They are. They are the fourth branch of government. We have no other industry that does more lobbying than big pharma. I actually just the other day, I live in Michigan, and about an hour south of me is one of the Pfizer headquarters down in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And 15 of our state representatives and a state senator, Project Veritas was there. We all shared information right in front of Pfizer, which, by the way, they had so much construction going on in their own stoplight. And it looked like a military base, which disgusted me because they made over $100 billion in profit over this. When you recognize how powerful the pharmaceutical companies are in the second that in the 80s, when they removed the liability regarding the vaccines, I mean, I don't know anything else that people allow themselves to be a part of where they have no ability to sue or get, you know, imagine working somewhere. Cause you said you worked in safety. Imagine working somewhere where they said, if you work here, under no circumstances can you ever file for workers' comp. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the fault of not you cutting corners, but say a machine malfunctions and you lose an arm. Sorry, who would ever take that job? But now people take the jabs. And I will never understand how anyone is willing to participate, not just the COVID-19 ones. You know, I've never vaccinated my children. I'm vaccine injured. It's my choice. I don't shame those who do, but I just personally don't see how you can inject neurotoxins, reproductive health hazards, and carcinogens and call it preventive health while ignoring the fact of saying, hey, work out, take these vitamins. I mean, natural things are demonized.
Well, what you're referring to is the act of 1986 when they removed all liability to where the pharmaceutical companies could not be sued. I mean, there's a great documentary out there called 1986, The Act, put on by Dr. Andy Wakefield. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Kristen, if most parents, number one, know that there's no you can't push back against pharmaceutical companies. I think most parents don't know. They go to their pediatrician and get this one. When we were growing up, I think there were between 4 to 7 vaccines. Now,
but they say there's like
74. 74 on the childhood vaccine schedule right now.
I think it's 76 now.
Is it 76? Well, it's increased 3 since Branson.
Hey, we need to put a ticker up there. By day, it changes.
I mean, but it kind of goes along with, you know, you said a while ago, you know, you knew a long time ago what's going on with the news. I didn't. I didn't know until 2020. I was an avid Fox News watcher. I'd come home at night. My wife would be cooking dinner. She'd have World News Tonight on with David Muir, believed everything. And then when COVID happened, I'm like, wait a second. And the first thing, when I woke up, Kristen, and got my head above the sand, is I came home one night. My wife was cooking dinner. ABC News was on. And they were digging massive graves in New York City with backhoes for all the bodies, yeah. You know, and then they were having refrigerated semi-trucks backed up to the docks of the hospitals hauling off all the dead. And I'm like, that is so bogus. That's so false. That's so fake. And from that point on, I never believed anything else on the news. And I used to watch Fox News all the time, too. Heck, I throw them in the same pile as ABC, CNN, MSNBC. I think they're all fake, every one of them. But I think most people, my wife and I have this conversation a lot. We kind of hang out in the conservative Christian circles. She and I always say that we bet 80% of our so-called conservative Christian friends have no idea what's going on. I'm sure they think we're crazy, but they have no idea what's going on. You talk to them about this stuff here, World Economic Forum, CBC, central bank digital currency, vaccine injuries, no liability for pharma. They think you're nuts. And that's the concern. They don't know. What's your take on that? Because I know you've been fighting that battle a long time.
Yeah, well, sometimes, I mean, I don't like saying this, but sometimes I'm envious of those people because I feel like I'm in the Truman Show and I just realized it, you know, and it's so hard to not be depressed and everything, but it's finding like-minded individuals because I know probably in the beginning of this, other people had friends that are like, oh, don't ever talk about politics or religion, right? I'm not that friend. If it's in the news, I talk about it. And I've lost friends over it, but that's because of my lifestyle. And the only good thing that's come out of this madness is the friendships that I've made. While I've lost some, I've made new ones.
Amen. And yep.
For me, I really, really started waking up when I found Dr. Ron Paul, former Congressman Ron Paul, Rand's dad. And I never cared about politics because I think the problem is that people tend to not care about anything until it directly affects them. And this, what we dealt with the past 3 years is something that has affected everybody. But I was in the military when I found Dr. Ron Paul and I was like, oh my gosh, am I a libertarian? Like, what is this? I didn't know anything. I was a government buffoon. I didn't even know the dang constitution that I took an oath to. It was embarrassing. I took an oath to something I didn't even read. That's way different now. I just slowly started seeing how Ron Paul was suppressed in the polls. He would literally win a straw poll and they'd put like Rick Santorum, Mitt Romney, and they'd Newt Gingrich. And then you'd be like, none of this adds to even 80%. Ron Paul would have been in first place and they just left him off the poll. And all media was doing this. So that's when I started realizing, wow, media is not about informing you. Mm-hmm. It's about training you what you need to know and follow. And it just reminded me of the book, 1984. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, though, another good documentary on the vaccine industry. It's an older one. I think I saw it maybe 2011. It's called A Greater Good. A Greater Good. And it's possible it could still be on YouTube. If not, maybe Rumble.
My wife pulled up a video the other night, and it's kind of another side to the pharmaceutical industry because she said, well, this documentary says that pharmaceutical is not the biggest problem, that it's the medical device manufacturing. Because there's no control over it. And they were talking about the pregnancy, the fallopian tube little springs they put in there and how bad they are. And people were getting cobalt poisoning from the hips replacements.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking, Johnson & Johnson was making that stuff. Or their subsidiaries are making it. So it's all the same. And they're making this stuff and there's nothing. It's even far less regulated. They said if somebody else had produced a hip, all you have to do is produce one, too, that's similar, even though this one has already killed people. But you can still produce some.
Well, I just had a conversation. We had a family member in the ER for a few hours here a couple months ago, and I had a conversation with an ER doctor that I've kind of gotten to know because we've been there so much. And I said, listen, tell me what's going on. I said, because he started his own boutique practice. He and his wife started another practice in addition to being a hospitalist at a local hospital. And I said, what's your take on all this stuff? And he and I kind of went to the side and talked. He said, it's all just a bunch. He's like, it's garbage. I said, well, is it big pharma? What's the biggest problem in this whole picture? He said, it's the insurance companies. He said, they're the bane of the existence of the medical industry. I said, mm-hmm. You mean to tell me the insurance companies are worse? He said, they're exponentially worse than pharmaceutical companies.
Wow.
Which I was blown away. I had no idea because we thought big pharma just you know, was the puppet master of everything. He talks like it's the insurance companies.
I agree with that. So the insurance companies made so much money during the scamdemic, and I will call it that because it was purposely mishandled, so it was never about our health and safety. I'm not denying its existence. I'm saying it was a scam. Mm-hmm. I have a family member who worked in the insurance industry for a long time. I mean, started in it at 19 and retired in it. And I, as a veteran, well, anyone who says that they want, you know, socialized medicine, obviously has never gone through the VA. But I go in the community because I can choose my doctor. I will not get care in the VA. I used to sit on the wrong site surgery committees, so that's why. But I started learning what a scam insurance is. And they work cohesively with Big Pharma. I mean, this is why you people wonder why you go in to a hospital and you, if you ask for your itemized bill, it will take a while because they don't want to send it to you. But like a simple over-the-counter medication is like $68. And then you're like, but your insurance bills that. They get kickbacks. Like, someone needs to do a whole documentary on this because I've seen it myself. I worked in healthcare for 12 years. And the things that insurance companies will decline and call elective is criminal. It's absolutely criminal. So yeah, the insurance company is another area. I think pharma is a scapegoat for the insurance companies, but they are equally bad. But I would say that Big Pharma could not do what they do without the, you know, their partner in crime, the insurance mm-hmm. company.
Our government is printing money at an unprecedented rate. Inflation and financial fear are at an all-time high, and the fiat dollar and economy are going to crash. Whether you're a collector or investor and want to diversify and protect yourself against hard times or just have real money in your hand, then buy your precious metals from Miles Franklin, who has access to the largest inventory in the United States. You have no minimum or maximum order size. You get to work with brokers who have 30 years experience. You get a company that brings an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and they're licensed and bonded. Plus, you get free educational resources. Miles Franklin, your source for precious metal investments, 30 years of dependability. Be sure to use referral code GRIT when ordering. Well, it's funny you mention that. I woke up one day 3 months ago with a torn retina. Woke up just out of the blue, couldn't hardly see, didn't know what it was, thought I had something in my eye. You know, I had to have an emergency visit to the doctor. They said, you need to see a retina specialist. So we go to the retina specialist at 7 a.m. on a Monday morning. They're like, well, I need to see your insurance. I'm like, well, we're self-pay. And they look at you like you have three heads when you say you're self-pay. And I said, I'm self-pay. And they're like, oh, well, you need a $100 deposit. I'm like, okay. I said, well, how much is it if we just, you know, pay it all? Or they're like, oh, well, we'll give you this much of a discount. And I'm like, well, what if I just pay you all right now for the whole thing and we're done? She's like, oh, we'll give you a 50% discount. Just like that, without even, so the more you, if the lower level you start, you know, how much is it? Then how much is it if I pay you in full? Or how much is it if I pay you in payments? Or how much is it if I pay you in full right now? It's like a car negotiation. I never knew that.
Yeah, and you know it's a scam when you have this in-network, out-of-network stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Like if you have insurance, you should be able to use your insurance. But no, we don't take that insurance. And as someone, I have three forms of insurance, but if it's service connected, you know, and I wanted to go to the community, I have to ask, do you take VA referrals? And they're like, no, we used to. It's kind of like Medicare, I guess, where it's a discounted rate. I mean, if this was about health and why do you view me as like I'm some, you know, off-brand patient who isn't going to pay the full amount? Listen, I have other insurance, but this is service connected. I mean, it's ridiculous because actually when it comes to being referred as a veteran, you know you're going to get paid. Like, you know you're going to get paid. You're not going to have to hunt anyone down or send them to collections. So if you look at, yes, you may be getting less of a fee, you're getting more consistent payment. And it makes no sense. It's the insurance company is, we could make this a whole nother show. I mean, they're just little scammers.
Well, my wife was in the ER one night at the hospital that she actually works at. And, you know, you walk in, you say, we're self-pay, and they, okay, well, we admit you. Then an hour later, this little lady comes around with this cart with the computer and all the monitor. And
yeah, the registration.
I need your information, your healthcare information. Well, we're self-pay, and they're looking like, oh, you are? Well, and then they proceeded to, well, do you own or rent your home? Do you own or rent your car, lease your car? What investments do you have? How much do you make? I'm like,
not your business.
Don't worry about it. You're going to get paid. And, you know, they sent us the bill, and, you know, we call and say, hey, how much is it? How much is it if we pay right now? How much is it if we pay in full? And then, you know, it gets negotiated down like I just talked about. But it's like you're treated like a subhuman when you talk about the most direct mm-hmm. path, because they're not used to that, and I don't mm-hmm. think they want that.
But I wonder if they have like a, you know, it reminds me. So like when I take my little one to the dentist, like I don't use fluoride. And the old dentist, I have a really good dentist now who doesn't even have fluoride in the office. But the old place, I'd have to be like, no fluoride. And they have to like go in a back room of a back room of a back room to get the non-fluoridated pumice polish. And it's like a whole thing like, oh, you know, over here we've got, it's like, why is this abnormal? You know, why aren't all available options ready? And it shouldn't be like this panic button of, oh my gosh, this is self-pay. But it's what it is. And people don't realize, you know, Dr. Ron Paul, my hero, he came to a point where, you know, he was an OBGYN, and he would deliver babies, and sometimes he would just barter, or he'd just have a flat fee. He didn't, for a long time, he said he didn't deal with insurance. And I noticed a lot of healthcare providers started doing that throughout the scam because they realized they were trying to give correct, you know, treatments that were, you know, going to get them flagged, and insurance companies weren't going to cover some basic things that were very inexpensive. And I just interviewed on my podcast a nurse who started this whole concierge service, which mm-hmm. is just subscription-based. Same with Dr. Stella Emanuel. She has one too. We're taking back control, and we're going from sick care to actual individual care. And all these big corporations better get their stuff together, because this is small now, but over time, when more people realize what's going on and they have their quote red pill moment, they're going to abandon mainstream medical care.
So here's the deal. What you're talking about is a PMA, and we have a friend yes. of ours that left her practice. She's actually working with American Frontline Doctors now, and she's setting up a PMA. I'm not sure exactly how she's doing it. but I saw that interview you did, and it goes right along. There's little cells of this going on, and I think we're going to have not only a parallel economy, but we're going to probably have a parallel medical system. But my problem mm-hmm. is the naturopathic doctors, insurance don't touch it because they have that agreement with pharma, you know, and that right there should tell you something.
But if you, my wife's whole, I mean, she is like holistic. I mean, she has like a gallon jug of kombucha in the refrigerator. I'm like, what is that? That's like moonshine. I mean, that just smells nasty and looks nasty. But we have this conversation that people think that, you know, it's so expensive to go to a natural doctor and the supplements are so expensive. I'm like, think about it this way. What are you paying a year in premiums? What are you paying mm-hmm. out of pocket? What mm-hmm. are you paying for a hospital visit? What are you paying for your prescriptions? If people would add all that up and divide it by 12, it's a bargain going to a natural doctor and using.
And how often are you going? Like my 7-year-old has been to a doctor twice in her whole life, yet exactly. we're paying, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something really quick. So I'm vocal about this. I'm not oversharing, but it's tied to my issue with my vaccine injury. So I had issues that led to me needing a full hysterectomy over this past year. And because of my history of a stroke, most women who have hysterectomies go on hormones, right? Because of my history of my stroke, I cannot go on synthetic hormones. So I was told I need bioidentical hormones from a functional medicine doctor. Does my insurance cover that?
No.
No. $200 a month? No. But I literally have a medical reason I can't use synthetic hormones.
So when you say functional medicine doctor, that says insurance is out. Pretty much, for the most part.
But I can't get bioidentical hormones anywhere else.
You know, those insurance companies, ridiculous. They probably don't even have a code for flaxseed
or kale.
It's like, what's so that?
So you're Megan, you're, or Kristen, you're out of pocket now, $200 a month just for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Not to mention all the over-counter vitamins I just buy because, I mean, like, it's ridiculous too. Like, I have a vitamin D3 prescription through the VA. And because of my background, I'm like, where's my K2? And they're like, we don't prescribe that. I'm like, yeah, no, you got to take K2 with vitamin D, right? Like, it's your uptake. This is stuff they don't tell people. I mean, what? Like, this is why it's not a conspiracy to say they do not care. I'm not saying all every individual, but the system, the medical industrial complex does not care. You are a lease and they expect you to renew by being sick and coming back. And
I want to say most, I want to believe that most providers, doctors, nurses, I want to feel like, my daughter's a nurse, I want to feel like they do care. I think they're so blinded and so brainwashed by the system. Same thing goes with public schools. I think most teachers really want to teach and want to do a good job, but they're so blindsided by the, you know, blinded by the teachers' unions and all the big special interest groups that they can't really do the job they were trained to do and that they love doing.
Well, I think they want to. That's why I was saying I'm not attacking people on an individual level. Mm-mm. But there comes a time, though, and that's why you're seeing these PMAs be developed. This is why you're seeing people blowing the whistle. I mean, there comes a point where you just can't stomach. I mean, watching people, especially during, you know, the lockdowns and everything, you know, one of my good friends is Jody O'Malley. She's, you know, the HHS whistleblower. She's just like, I can't believe it. We couldn't literally give vitamins, cheap medications that have won Nobel Peace Prizes. You know, it's like we can't give things that are very safe and effective, but we're going to promote and demonize people who won't be part of an experiment. It makes no sense.
So just a personal experience. It was November, this is 23 of 21, I had back surgery. And I was only in there for like a day. But I take a bunch of supplements. I take the D3, I take the quercetin. So I told my wife, I said, get in your purse and get my medicine or my supplements out. And the nurse goes, oh, no, we have to direct your care. What do you need? And I laid it out there. She came back, gave me some supplements. I'm like, where's my quercetin? She goes, they won't fill that. And I said, could that be because it's kind of like hydroxychloroquine? She goes, probably, but I can't talk about that. Is that not completely asinine?
Yeah, and this is why I'm not a really good patient. I don't like going to any medical facility, but I'm telling you, my guard is up because I know things and I research a lot, and I may not be an expert in something, but I can definitely find an expert. So I go in there prepared. And it is ridiculous. You can refuse any care. I mean, the reason that they want you to take their meds is so they can charge you 25 times the amount. Mm-hmm. I mean, they act like, you know, we're just hokey. You know, they can't stand like these natural stores. And I'm at the point, and I'm not saying this as medical advice for anywhere else, I'm at the point now where if something's not FDA approved, you know, I take it. Like I live right by a health store called Harvest Health, and they have things for insomnia or anxiety or cramping or muscle soreness, you know, like Arnica gel. And if it says not evaluated by the FDA, I'm like, cool, I'm taking this.
You know, it's good then.
Yeah, it probably works.
And just for the reference, I want to say this on the show. We've mentioned the acronym PMA a few times. For those of you that don't know, it stands for Private Membership Association. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to go into that. You can look it up and research it on yourself, but that's what PMA stands for, Private Membership Association, which I think is where a lot of things are going along with the parallel society.
Yep.
So we only hope.
So I know we're getting close to the end here. Can we get you back on and talk about this climate? You've got my attention on this one. I've been looking for somebody that knows about this climate engineering, and I've got a whole lot of questions.
But there's a word that goes with climate engineering, too, that she kind of I think there's a word, whistleblower, that goes with climate engineering from somebody that has a lot of experience.
Yeah, this isn't just coming.
And she's not afraid to speak up, like a lot of people are. She's not afraid of losing friends, family, and hurting people's feelings.
I kind
of
thought she was a little meek myself.
Are you Italian? Are you Italian?
I am German and Hispanic, actually.
Okay. I wonder, because my wife's Italian and she's a little pistol. So,
well, actually, I did do 23andMe, and I didn't care because I was in the military, so the government already has my DNA. But I did find some things out that were surprising, so I had to go, Mom? No. No, I mean, I just have other things, but primarily, yeah, I'm mostly German and Hispanic. And I do have more Indian in me than Elizabeth Warren. I just have to say
well,
that.
That's a Pocahontas herself.
So, Kristen, tell us real quick, tell our viewers and our listeners, you know, where can they find you? Where's your website? Do you have any social media that can keep up with you and all those good things?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a Telegram. It is Kristen Megan Uncensored. I do have several impersonation accounts, so I don't use it as much, but that's where I put my super extreme data that I'm afraid to even put on Twitter. But I use Twitter the most now that Elon Musk is in charge. I have not been censored. My Twitter handle is just at Kristen Megan. And I do host a podcast called Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA. So wethepatriotsusa.org. And the one thing I want to say about We the Patriots USA, I found them because of my Delta issue. The radio host with the Blaze, Daniel Horowitz, connected me with We the Patriots to help me understand my rights. And that's how I became friends with the founders. So now I help bring awareness to getting veterans to speak about what they're doing, and also visionaries, people who aren't just complaining, but are, you know, invoking change. But if you go to wethepatriotsusa.org, right on the homepage, if you scroll down, you will see petition. This is not just like any petition. There is a petition and we need a whole bunch of signatures. We're going to hand deliver this to Washington, D.C. We already have congressmen and senators waiting to receive this if we get enough signatures. This is to make your health status a protected class, just like race, religion, sex. These are protected classes, and your health status, we are trying to make that in the same category, meaning no forced masking, no forced medical intervention, and you cannot be discriminated against because you are not vaccinated of any vaccine. So this doesn't just cover COVID issues. This covers choices that you've made for your own health. It's a protected class.
So what is it under? Which I wanted to show this real quick.
Yeah, you can either go under, I believe it's on the homepage at the bottom, or go to legal updates. Mm-hmm. It could be under that tab. It's usually, obviously you're driving, but you see right there, if you just scroll down, you'll see petition. You're right there, that hand where it says take action, make unrestricted vaccine mandates illegal. Right. You click on that. And then on there, it actually gives the full explanation of what this petition is going to entail, because this needs to be a protected health status. We've seen way too much discrimination for people who, for religious reasons, medical reasons, or just philosophical reasons, we shouldn't have to make ourselves one of the Tuskegee Airmen. That is already known as being wrong and criminal. And what we've done is just something that should never happen again. Right. So please sign that. Please share it on your social media. You know, it's important. This isn't just one of those petitions that's going nowhere. We're hand delivering this to Washington, D.C., and we have people there. I'll keep them nameless for now, but you know them, that are wanting this to show cause to put a bill through to make sure that this happens.
Nice.
Yeah, Kristen, great. Do you think all this whole thing is done, or you think they're still going to try to beat this drum for the next few months or few years?
In relation to COVID-19, I know Biden's trying to end this in a few months. I think part of it's because of the midterms coming up. But I don't think they're done testing what we will tolerate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people have their views of InfoWars and Alex Jones, but if anyone's been watching his stuff, I mean, he used to sound absolutely crazy, and then you realize he was right. And he has been talking about the New World Order and the Great Reset, which is just openly admitted. I mean, these are things you used to whisper to your friends. You heard about the Great Reset? Mm-hmm. Now it's like, have you heard about it? Schwab just said it. Like, we cannot allow the World Economic Forum. We cannot allow the WHO. None of these international people do not speak for we the people. And they are going to try to control us through digital currency. They're going to try to control us through a health status. That's why we need to make sure we do not lose any more constitutional rights. And we go ahead and make this part of our civil rights, a protected health status, because it reminds me, I forget which movie that is, where it was like if their social credit score was on their skin. I think Justin Timberlake was in that movie. I mean, we are going to be that movie. We are going to be Idiocracy, but it's because we allowed it to happen. So you can either decide to pull off the exit now and get together with freedom-minded individuals to administratively and peacefully get together on your local level, or you can just keep on cruise control before you hit that brick wall, because it's going to happen.
Well, you know, speaking of them, a new documentary was just released last week, and I'm sure you've heard of Vera Shirov, the Holocaust survivor. It was released by Children's Health Defense Fund. The new movie is called, it's a five-part documentary. There's about an hour each. I believe it's called Never Again Is Now Global. Never Again Is Now Global with Vera, V-E-R-A, Shirov, S-H-A-R-A-V, 87-year-old Holocaust survivor. It's an excellent documentary. It lays out the parallels of the Holocaust and the Jews and the Germans versus the last 3 years that we've gone through, and it's absolutely maddening and frightening and enlightening as far as what she's been exposed and been able to do as a parallel. I mean, have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet, but I've worked with CHD, so it's, when I have time, I definitely will watch it.
It is an unbelievable, and that's available. She made the documentaries for free. You can go to Rumble, I think, and find all five episodes, or you can go to Children's Health Defense and look it up there. But I advise all of our audience, if you haven't seen it, to go watch that. Make your kids and grandkids watch it, too, because it's a definite eye-opener. Wow. Kristen, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate everything you're doing. Thanks for fighting. Thanks for being a veteran.
Yeah.
Thanks for not worrying about losing friends and family and just speaking truth. We love people that speak truth bombs. I mean, that's the only way we're going to make it in this country.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for tolerating me.
you're tolerable.
We look forward to having you back on for a follow-up of something else. So we appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
Well, and hopefully it's not involving a nefarious act of the government, because it's getting really old.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is. All right. There we go. Kristen Megan with WeThePatriotsUSA.org. Thank you, Kristen. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching another exciting episode of Patriots with Grit. We want to keep you informed, so if you would, just go over to patriotswithgrit.com and give us your first name and your email so we can keep you up to date. Also, be sure to subscribe, like, and share so we can keep bringing you truth. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.